immensely already this morning, so that we can be cleansed and made whole. So the word consecration, I guess, kind of jumped out at me, so set aside for a purpose, and I'm not too sure. I did not set aside a whole lot of time for this thing, so for this message this morning. But I was up early. I was up last night late, so I'm going to bear with me, I guess. Looking at a little bit more in what defines us as Christians, or what Christianity looks like, or defining today is like defining a little bit more in who we are. And we're looking at the life of Peter. We know that he was big, bold, a fisherman. He made lots of mistakes, you could say, or it seemed like he even denied Christ. And yet, you know, the first step after when he was converted, the change in his life and his walk from there forth, the things that he brought about. And so I just thought I would jump to a few verses. Let's look at several verses in 1 Peter and his message to us, and how it relates maybe to some of the very things that we were sharing this morning in sanctification and being washed in that way. So if you want to, you can turn to 1 Peter, and I'm just going to read several of the verses here. And he greets us like this, and this definitely was after, you know, he was told to feed my sheep and feed my, you know, three times, and he had the strength of, or God given, Jesus gave him the opportunity, you know, to, he was forgiven, he was made whole, and once he was filled with the work of the Holy Spirit, he was as bold as he was before. He was that bold in Christ. And so he introduces us, you know, to this. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then he says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Look at verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though for now a season, if in need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory of the appearing of Jesus Christ. And if we can go then to his introductions to into 2 Peter. And we find some of the same instructions of like that define who we can be and who we are in Christ. He says here in starting in the second epistle of Peter, he says again, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, he goes on, this is the growth that Peter experienced. This is the growth, I think, that we experience in life. We add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance brings patience, and to patience there's godliness, and to godliness there's brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness we have charity. And he tells us this, that if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in what? In the knowledge of our Lord and Lord Jesus Christ. And he also says that if we lack these things, we're blind. But you know, the thing that you know, the turmoil, you could say, and again, I don't spend a lot of time in looking and watching, you know, the polls of the political world, but we know the turmoil that is out there and the battle against just the general battle against, you know, the challenge against Christianity, the challenge against what is a Christ-likeness, and, you know, the things that set, these things that we just read, that set Christians apart from those that are not, you know, to, it gives, you know, that we understand, I guess, that we do matter to God, you know, that we are, that God, there is still salt on the earth, and we're still here, as it tells us. You know, it took someone, you know, Christ took someone like Peter, you know, that was, and many other of the characters that we see in the Bible, and he took them and he set them apart and he gave them a worth, and that they knew that they was loved, and they also knew that that Christ had given his life for them, and they were willing to also give their lives for him, for the cause of Christianity. You know, Christianity still is, would you not agree, it's still uplifting, it's still positive in your lives. It's what gives you strength and courage to continue to fight the good fight of faith, as he tells us, and to lay hold of eternal life. You know, he was transformed from the scripture says that, you know, that Peter was profane. He was a profane fisherman to someone that spread the gospel, as in the many of the writings that he had. You know, he wasn't perfect, yet we see him striving as he learned to grow in the grace and faith and knowledge and temperance to more Christ-like characteristics, you could say. And that transformation came when he looked at Jesus and he acknowledged that he had, when the cock crowed, you know, and he knew, and he wept, he said. You know, that weeping was for his demise, his sins, and he was slowly being transformed. So just looking at who we are, I guess, a couple defining characteristics that Scripture tells us, you know, and one thing he does tell us, just like Peter acknowledged then, that we are and can be the sons of God. But John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name." Romans 8:14-15, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." So a defining characteristic of a Christian is acknowledging those verses and who you are and who you can be and what God gives us. We are one of God's own children. We are part of his body. We are members of his family. You know, so God takes you and puts you in you're of course born into a physical family, but God can put you in that spiritual family of his, that those that worship him. And that family is, he even acknowledges that, like in Matthew 12, we see where Jesus is talking to the multitudes here. Matthew 12, verse 46-50. It says, "While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him." This was his physical family. "And then one said to him, 'Look, you know, take a look over here. Is your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you,'" like wanting his attention when he was ministering there. "But he answered and said to the one who told him," he said like this, "'Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers.' And then he said this, 'For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, he is my brother and my mother, and my sister and mother.'" So he takes us and he puts us into his own family. Luke 14, verse 26, anyone who wants to be my follower, he said, must love me more than he does his own family, his mother, his wife, his children, his brothers. This is paraphrased a little bit. But yes, more than his own life, otherwise he cannot be my disciple. You know, we are defined by who our parents are and who our brothers and sisters are and so forth and who we look alike and, you know, the relationship that we have with one another. We see, you know, sometimes if we wouldn't even see the person, but we see their character, we see how they walk or how they talk, and we say, oh, that must be a Yoder or that must be a Beachy or that must be a Zare. We can define that. Our position in life is often defined accordingly. Also, oh, that guy must be poor, or he must be middle class, or oh, he's filthy rich. There's a lot of definitions that we, and categories that we, in the natural that we do. But in the kingdom of God, in that family that he invites us into and to be a part of, you know, there is no class. There is no division. There is no rich or poor. We are all rich in God. We all have the same inheritance. You know, we all are getting the same inheritance. And so, you know, and the more that we can relate to that, sometimes, you know, we need to think about those things. Like Joseph had shared here the other Sunday about, if we get a picture of the gold and the clear gold and the city of heaven, reading out of Revelations back there. And then take a look around us at this. The fall colors are about gone. It's been really beautiful this fall, and yet no comparison. We see the that our natural position is pretty boring or pretty dull. The more that we can see that, we see the connection that we have as being God's family. It's also an opportunity then to, it's our choice, I guess. We choose. He has chosen us, and it's our choice to accept and be part of him. Which family has the greatest priority in our, within our lives? there was a time in Peter's life, though, when you know, when he challenged Jesus. It was like he was looking at his physical, okay? And if you want to turn, we're at Luke 18, verses 28 and 29. And we hear the, you know, the physical part coming out here of Peter. And he forsook that and he left it, you know, to follow Christ. And Peter said in verse 28, so he said, see, we have left all and followed you. You know, it's like we have, what are we going to get? Was kind of the question. We have left everything. We have, you know, he abandoned his boat, he abandoned his nets, and he followed Christ. And then Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left a house or a parent or a brother or a wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God that not more was given unto him. Obviously, there needs to be a balance in that. How should I say this, I guess? Because Peter also said, he also told us that we need to dwell with our wives or dwell with our partners, dwell with the people that are around with understanding. He says specifically our wife, lest our prayers be hindered, he said. So there's a time when we need to, you know, we forsake all for the kingdom of God, and yet we cannot forsake our partner in that sense. To have fellowship with one another also is another aspect then. We all need that and it's also a character. It's a trait. You know, where two or three are assembled in my name, he says, I'll be with you. And we have the words have left me a little bit, I guess. The fellowship that we have with one another is a blessing, but it's a representation of the fellowship that we have with God, with other members of God's family. And so there's a little story here, I guess. There's a scholar had once asked a rabbi, his rabbi, why did not the Lord furnish enough manna to, when he give manna to Israel when they needed it, why didn't he just give them enough for a year's supply? You know, why did he just not just dump it all at once and they could have saved it? And the teacher said, I'll answer you with this parable. There was one time a king who had a son who gave him a yearly allowance, paying him the entire sum on the fixed date. Like he came by and he gave him the money, and that was his allowance for the year. And it soon happened that the day in which the allowance was due was the only day out of the year that the father got to see his son. So the king changed his plans, gave the son day by day that which was sufficient for that day, and then the son visited his father every morning. How he needed his father's unbroken love, companionship, wisdom, and giving. And thus God had dealt with Israel, and he deals with us today in the very same thing. My grace is sufficient for thee. His mercy is new every morning. You know, so he gives us, I think, the day by day. We couldn't receive that all in, oh, what if he would give us enough grace today that to last us a year? We'd probably use it all up in 2 minutes, right? Or a little bit of time. So we wouldn't, you know, if that's anywhere close to an analogy. But anyway, so he gives it new every morning. We have that. Because Psalms 145 tells us, 18, the Lord is near to all that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth and call upon his name. 1 John 2, it says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Another little story I'd found here in regards to receiving that, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis, and his mercy is new every morning. There was once a woman that had went, on the advice of her doctor, it says, had gone to see a pastor to talk about joining that church. She had recently had a facelift done, and when her doctor dismissed her, he gave her this advice. He said, My dear, I have done an extraordinary job on your face, as you can see in the mirror. I have charged you a great deal of money, and you were happy to pay it. But I want to give you some free advice. Go find a group of people who love God and who will love you enough to help you deal with all the negative emotions that you have inside of you. If you don't, you'll be back in my office in a very short time with your face in far worse shape than it was before. So it's important that we receive that fellowship. It's important that we get help. We help each other get rid of the negative things sometimes that affect us within our life. And we can do that. We can definitely help. the fellowship that we have with the Lord and with one another, the more time that we spend with someone, the more we become like them, right? You know, you are shaped, you are molded. And we see that in the life of Peter and his disciples. He followed Christ for, it took 3 years, right? You know, that's what the scripture kind of tells us. When he started his ministry and he called his apostles, they followed him for 3 years. And we have that verse that I shared earlier, John 13:8-9. When Peter said to him, he said, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And immediately, you know, Simon Peter says to him, Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head. Wash everything I have. We see the changes that takes place, you know. Also, as we draw near unto him, he would draw nigh unto us, it says. for many people in our physical world or the secular world, you know, you could say education defines us, right? A lot. Oh, he has a PhD. Oh, he has a GED. Oh, he didn't graduate. Oh, I just have an eighth grade education. Whatever it may be. A lot of times you could say, he's an engineer. Define who we are. And yet we are enrolled in one continuous education, you know, and that is life and the life that we can have in God. He continuously, like 2 Peter had showed us there, that we grow. And we see that. The verses in Acts 4, verse 13. When they had saw, it says that, and this was the outside people looking in. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. and the people that was around him, and they was trying to, you know, shut Christianity down at its very beginning. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, it says, and perceived, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained. They were just fishermen, is all they were. It says they marveled, and then they realized that they had been with Jesus. Then they knew what brought about this change. What had showed forth? But they knew that these Peter and John followed Christ until the very end, until he left, you know, this earth. and also, then, what did Jesus tell them? Many times he told them that the words that he shares with them, the things that he tells them, are not his, but they come from the Father. They were given to him. They come directly from God. This is what God wants you to know. My Father wants you to know these things. And so John 7, verse 16 and 7 says, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. Jesus even said the doctrine that he gave to us, the scriptures that he gives to us, is not his, but his who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether that I speak of my own authority. That his authority, and that he had shared with us what we have in the Holy Scriptures, comes from God. As we can see in Peter's life also, that he continued to grow stronger, bolder. His character was built. I think we can reflect back on yesterday and the day before and last year and 10 years ago or 50 years ago or whatever. And we can say, thank you, Lord, for working on me, for continuing to build our lives and help us draw closer to him, put our trust, our faith, everything that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's also a thing that defines. That's what separates a Christian from someone that is not a Christian, you could say. Someone that does not have faith and does not believe in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But help us to continue to get stronger and grow. So there's two perspectives to that here, and one is like, there's a book written. I didn't read this book. I have a desire to get it and read it. It's called Severe Mercy. There's an argument in there that for Christianity is for Christians, and the first aspect is the defining characteristic is that they would have joy. You know, they walk in the walk in faith is in something they can't see, but they acknowledge their certainty. You know, they can be bold and stand on the truth of what they know is God's word, and then the argument against Christianity is also when you find Christians that are smug, self-righteous, puffed up, proud and narrow-minded, and whatever else can go with these words, I guess. That also is probably why sometimes Christianity can die 1,000 times, you know, in a hurry. So Matthew 7:24 tells us this: therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The more we're submitted to God, the more the fruit of his spirit will show forth within our lives. And we'd see that this also took place in Peter's life when he tells us, I'll go back to Peter, 2 Peter verse 1, 5 to 8. But also for this reason, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we can, if we allow these characteristics, you could say, or these things that we have from God to define who we are, I think they will show forth, and they also will bear fruit for the kingdom and for His glory, for His honor. And it is for the benefit of our physical lives here on earth today also. So first, again, I'll just recap this a little bit. This message is not long today, but we can be open for a sharing and testimony. And we are first acknowledging we are the sons of God, because as many as received Him, He says He gives us the power to be that. Even those to the we believe on His name, we must have fellowship with Him. The more time we spend with Him, the more we become like Him, and the more we also we have desire to be in fellowship with one another, with other Christians, and also as a family, as a physical family of God's. We will get, the more that we learn and grow, it's a continued education. It's a continuing education in Christianity, in knowing in God's Word. You never heard anyone ever say that they've exhausted the Bible, have you? You know, they may be they've never exhausted, I guess, the extension of pi, because it keeps going forever, right? There's no end to the digits behind the thing, but they've exhausted formulas and exhausted, lots of things. They've actually, this is it, this is all you can do. But never have you heard someone say that, that they've studied and know the complete Word of God, and there's nothing more to be gained or learned from it. So I guess that's another thing why God gives us His Word. We can have His Word also fresh and new every morning. That's a blessing. So we can receive a new education by spending time with Him and learning and knowing Him and knowing about the kingdom of God. And then the last that we would continue having our lives changed and becoming more Christ-like, that character building is continuing to happen within our lives. Things that you could say used to bother us, or we would have a struggle about or over or with, may they also just pass away. They're not important in the light of eternity at all. So I'm just going to close with that. I'm open for sharing. I know it was not long, but I was like, I could have pulled out a bunch of more verses, but for some reason, I don't know, we had to go track a deer this morning, so I'm sorry.